Matt Van de Kolk is the chief deputy sheriff for Green Lake County. He joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Good to see you.
We've got a bunch of different topics we want to tackle with you today. Get right down to business.
Yeah, no shortage of news here, huh?
Hope you're having a good weekend. We'll put it at that. So, one of the things that you've reported on lately, you've had a couple of sex offenders that have moved into the county. These are both individuals that have done their time, right?
That's correct. Actually, both of these individuals have completed their sentence. They were released to other counties, and after their release, they petitioned to move into Green Lake County from their county where they committed their offenses. The SBN core group, which is composed of DOC members, probation and parole, the sheriff, myself, district attorney, we reviewed these matters and determined the level of notification necessary for our community. So, unknown to a lot of people, obviously, in the community, there are always sex offenders that are being released to our community. Sometimes they receive a level 3 notification. Sometimes it's a level 2 or a level 1. The level 3 notifications warrant the public Facebook posts, media releases, things of that nature. And that is typically what causes community concern. It's important for the community to understand that these folks have finished their sentences imposed by a judge, and now they are part of our society and being rehabilitated through Department of Community Corrections and probation and parole. So we're going to do our best to monitor these situations and keep the public informed and make sure that they're aware of these individuals. And obviously, if they're a level 3 offender, we feel that the probability to reoffend is higher than a level 2 or a level 1 offender. That doesn't change our ability to put any other limitations on them, but it gives us the tool to let the community know about where they're living and who they are, and just a more public notification than a level 2 or a level 1. As with everything, there's lots of information available online, and people who are concerned about these offenders or others in their community should go online and use the sex offender registry tools to see what their community has for others who are registered sex offenders.
Well, they're on GPS monitoring in the case of both of them. I think they're under supervision for quite a while.
Yeah, that's correct. They're both under supervision for, well, one I believe is till 2043, and the other is until, I believe, 2037, something like that. So, yes, they'll be monitored pretty closely for quite a long time. It's unfortunate that we've had two in a short time span. Obviously, that draws attention. But it had been a number of years since we had one previously. And, you know, sometimes these things just go in spurts, and you can't manage the timing. But it's our responsibility, we feel, as a sheriff's office to keep our community informed and make sure that they're aware of these individuals. And that's really the bottom line, awareness. And if the community is aware, they're safer. Informed public is a safer public. And so that's what we're doing through these notifications.
Well, part of the issue is they have restrictions as to how close they can live to a school, a park, places where kids congregate, type of thing.
Yeah, that's right. There's local ordinances, too, in different communities restricting where they can live as well. All those things, in some ways, you know, put them in situations where they can only live in certain areas, and that can make it challenging as well for the Department of Community Corrections and local authorities. So in this circumstance, in a lot of circumstances, frankly, I have a ton of confidence in the sheriff's office staff and also in our local law enforcement partners, our police departments throughout the area. And in some ways, I feel that it's better sometimes for these individuals to be monitored in a county like ours, where they're going to be closely watched and they're not going to be able to slide under the radar, because we're aware and our community is aware and our community will keep us informed as well.
Some problems with 911 phone service. Was it last week?
I think? Yeah, last weekend, last Sunday, I believe. It started around noon and lasted approximately 12 hours throughout the course of the day. And our 911 and regular phone lines were down again. This has been a problem that's occurred more often than we'd like. We are in the process of transitioning to an IZINET system through AT&T and the Department of Military Affairs. We received a sizable grant, and we're going to be switching over to that system hopefully here within the next couple of months. It's a widespread project that's been going on throughout the state, and there's lots of agencies that are going through this transition. And because of that, we've got a number of agencies that are relying on a small number of contractors, and those contractors are stretched pretty thin. So a lot of these projects have been delayed, and you know, in a perfect world, ours would have been completed about 4 or 5 months ago. But you know, we're going to keep plugging ahead. We've got some scheduled dates coming, and we're hoping to get that completed before June. So the difficulty we had there, we believe, originated from a fiber line that was cut in Missouri, and we're hoping that this new system is going to provide a higher level of redundancy in the event of those hardware mishaps or technological mishaps that happen when lines are cut and things are damaged and things of that nature.
So other than the reliability, what are some of the other benefits?
Well, it provides a network for next-gen 911. So you've heard throughout some of the communities around that there's the ability to text 911 and mm-hmm. video and some of those other things. Every agency is kind of looking at the benefits and risks associated with some of those features. In some ways, it definitely can be beneficial, but there's also associated risks with both of those specific technologies. They also provide improved location service for our dispatchers so that they can be sure to get the right locations out to the responding law enforcement, fire, and EMS going to those calls. So the redundancy, a greater capacity to carry more data, and then the potential to upgrade in the future to those other services if that is deemed necessary.
Well, specifically, the ability to pinpoint someone's location. I mean, they could be out in the middle of Green Lake. And,
right. And I don't want to give you the impression that we don't have that now, because we do. Mm-hmm. And it's just an increased accuracy through IZINET because of the higher level of data and things like that. But we have that capacity now, and it comes in very, very, very useful in many, many, many calls where we're able to locate people who are out on the roadway and they're not familiar with where they are. You know, yeah. Our motoring public these days, I think, relies pretty heavily on their GPS. I don't think that people know what road and crossroad they're at very often when they're driving. So a lot of times if there's a car accident or maybe a driver that's driving recklessly or something like that, we're able to determine a location through that service already. This will just hopefully improve that to a higher level.
All right. Recently there was a truck theft, and it seems that you got that one solved pretty quick.
Yeah, a big shout out and a thanks to our community again. I just can't speak enough about how the community supports us in some of these investigations, and we need that. We need to maintain that, and we're thankful for it. In this instance, best of my understanding, we put out our Facebook post. Somebody grabbed it, shared it. Somebody recognized the vehicle and had contact with the vehicle the night prior, and that information was provided to the investigating deputy. The deputy took it and ran with it, and that crack right there, that lead, led to the arrest of two individuals associated with theft of that truck. So we were able to recover the truck and take the individuals into custody. So, again, the community is what solved that for us. It can't be overstated how important it is to have a good relationship with your community when it comes to providing quality law enforcement service. The more information that they're able to provide, the more we're able to do. And, you know, I just was going through some of our shift briefings here in the last few days, and we've had other motorist incidents that were stopped because of the public calling it in. Sometimes you'll see a motorist that's, you know, crossing the center line or maybe driving recklessly in another way, and we get notified of that. We try to get a deputy or officer into the area, and sometimes that turns into an OWI arrest. Sometimes it turns into a medical call or response. But Those incidents, along with many, many others, are just good examples of why it's so important for us to have a great relationship with our community.
Sheriff's Department has a drone unit, doesn't it?
Yes. We've had our drone unit now for about 7 years, I believe. We're one of the first in the area to develop the unit, and we now have 3 drones, 2 outdoor or overwatch-type drones, mm-hmm. and then 1 indoor drone. They're very, they're incredible. In their training missions, they can go in when there's snow, they can see tracks in the snow because of the thermal differences between the fresh snow and stepped on snow. They can find small mammals in trees. I mean, the ability for them to assist us in search and rescue scenarios and other criminal situations has been remarkable, and they're being utilized throughout the state, and the network of agencies that have them, they're working together, they're collaborating, and they're learning from each other and developing new ways to use these drones in order to keep our communities safe and find quick resolutions to some of these search and rescue situations.
I was just curious because I saw where a bunch of different drone units were used in the search for Elijah Vu up in Manitowoc County. So I didn't know if they reached out to
your department. Yeah, we participated in that as well.
Did you?
Yeah, our drone unit was there too. And, you know, continue to support Two Rivers Manitowoc area and their continued investigation. And we're just hopeful that at some point we're going to be able to get some information that they're going to be able to get some information that will lead to closure in that case. But it is a good example of how our law enforcement agencies across the state work together and use the resources and tools of other agencies in order to try to facilitate, you know, some of these larger investigations.
Yeah, it's just awful when a child disappears like that.
Somebody knows the answer. We just got to figure out who it is.
That's the case. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Bob. Have a great Easter.
That is Matt Van de Kolk, who is the Chief Deputy Sheriff for Green Lake County. We appreciate him joining us this morning. We appreciate you joining us as well.